Take our Bibles and turn to Malachi chapter 2. Malachi chapter 2. Wow. Is it okay if I unplug this? You don't want that big pop. It's just right. Have you ever talked with something right between your eyes? It's like. All right. Is this working? Okay. It doesn't sound. Now it sounds like it. There we go. My first chapel of this school year. How many freshmen have not heard me preach before? See, so Dr. Mitchell, he's just back there laughing because there's like this, I don't know, is there a stigma about the way that I preach? Okay. So a few of you, you get to hear me. I'm so much like Pastor Darren. I'm all over the place. I got sarcasm just coming, just flowing out of me. I ask questions like, you know what, and guess why? There's a contrast. He is related to me, but not by blood. It's by marriage, and I'm not married to him. My sister is married to him. So, Malachi chapter 2. I have a very heavy burden, and I don't think it's one that will ever go away, and that is because we always have new students coming to college. And my burden is that I do my part to help you understand the supreme importance of the responsibility that you have when you preach to people. Now, all you ladies are saying, I don't preach to people. But we do preach to people. What does Mark 16:15 say? Go ye therefore and preach, right? So none of you ladies will be pastors. And most of you will not preach before, hopefully none of you ladies will be pastors. If you learn anything here, you won't be pastors. But if you go into the ministry, you're going to be preaching at different times. You're going to preach to girls. You're going to preach to your class. You're going to have a bunch of little third graders, and you're going to preach to them. Now, it won't be the same kind of preaching that I do or that Pastor Darren does or that your pastor does when he stands behind a pulpit, but we're going to be preaching, and preaching is many different things, but it's you're going to be opening the Bible, and you're going to be letting people know what the Bible says. Or you're going to be getting in front of people and you're going to be telling them the way they should live, and you're going to be doing that on the authority of the Scriptures. That's preaching. That's one way to describe preaching. It's not a complete definition. But I am greatly burdened that when we preach, when we teach, when we open the Bible, we do what the Bible tells us to do. And I'm convinced that the Bible tells us what to do. And this passage that we have this morning is one of those passages that tells us what we're supposed to do. I title this message, A Message for the Messengers. Message for the Messengers. And God has a message for every one of us who is going to speak for Him. Every one of us that is going to give the message that he has to someone else, he has a message for you in this passage right here. Malachi chapter 2, verse 1-9. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If ye will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because ye do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed, and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts. And one shall take you away with it. And ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave it them, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But ye are departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the privilege that we have to read it, to be able to understand it, and to be able to proclaim it. I ask you this morning to help me to be out of the way, to be your messenger, to open your word for those that are here this morning. I pray that your spirit would be able to use what you have me say to challenge, to encourage, to correct maybe some thoughts and maybe even some actions. But mostly, Lord, to teach us what you expect of us when we speak for you. I pray that you would be glorified by what is done, that your word would be magnified, and that your work would be what we want to do with our lives as we go from here. In Jesus' name, amen. So Malachi is written at a unique time in Hebrew history. It is, as you know, I was kind of confused there. I said Matthew, right? It's the next book, but it's not in the same time period, is it? Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. It's the last writings from God until, it's the last word from God until John the Baptist shows up. And then, of course, Christ and the Gospels. But Malachi lived, so Malachi lived at a time when there were people in Israel, when Jews were in Israel. Remember? They had been taken captive. They had been dispersed all over the Babylonian Empire, and then the Persian Empire. Cyrus allows them to go back, even funds the rebuilding of their temple. Nehemiah goes back and helps in the rebuilding of the wall of Jerusalem. And so they have a temple, they have a wall. Do you remember what the temple looked like? I know we don't have pictures of it, but do you remember what they thought of what the temple looked like? It was nothing. It's nothing like the other one. It wasn't fancy. It wasn't glorious. It was just there. And as you read through Haggai and Zechariah, you see that the people that were there struggled. Some of the reason they struggled was because they hadn't rebuilt the temple. You know, they gather up their stuff, I think it's Haggai says, to put it in a hole, into a bag that has holes in it. But they struggled. They're living in their land, but they're not in charge anymore.
Thank you.
Amen.